Today is one of those you do not want to miss. When it comes to evangelizing Muslims, when it comes to evangelizing people that are different than we are, don't miss today's interview. So I'm going to start right out this morning, even though you don't know what the fish is. Kenza, good morning. Welcome to Good Morning Ozarks.
Good morning, Kenza.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure.
Kenza, let me start out by saying just having you on the program gives me visions. When I was walking the streets of Afghanistan, and I watched those Muslim women in their blue, the name's leaving me, the
burqas.
Thank you, the burqas, thank you. And walking 4 to 5 feet behind their men, veiled faces, I can't get that vision out of my mind. I also can't get the area out of my mind where the Taliban had taken the different people and put them in the soccer stadium and shot them. And for you to write a book and to help give evangelical Christians in the world some insight into being an ex-Muslim, I can't wait to dive into this morning. Keith, let me tell you. Kenza was born in Casablanca, Morocco, moved to the United States with her family at the age of 12, and as a young adult, Kenza was called by God, and this happens, Keith, I've heard this so many times, and she had a dream about Jesus.
Wow.
We want to talk about that in just a minute, but let's go back about your formative years and tell us about what it was like living in a Muslim household.
Yeah, so Islam is based on Sharia law, it's very male focused, and Allah, who is the God of Islam, is very oppressive, very harsh. And so my formative years were fear-driven. Even though I tried to get God's approval when it came to prayer, I mean, Muslims are eternity-focused. I do want to preface with that. The problem is they're serving the wrong God. And so that's why they're doing what they're doing. And so my formative years were very fear-focused. That's mainly what I remember about them.
Now, you came to faith at what age?
24.
You were out of the house at that point. Did your family members remain Muslim?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So I had to run away.
Yeah, I was going to say, take me back to the kitchen table when you walked in and said, hey, got some news for you. Doesn't quite work that way, does it?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. See, it took me a year after I had the dream about Jesus to give my life to Jesus because of how big of a decision that is. You see, my whole life, I believed that my parents, and that's what I want Christians to understand also. We as believers, I don't think, if we're not raised in a Muslim household, it's hard for us to understand this aspect. I believe that my parents had a say as to whether or not I got to heaven, right? And so leaving my parents, who I believed for 24 years were mediators between me and God, was a huge step. And not only that, you know, Jesus says count the cost in Luke 14. And so after I had a dream about Jesus, I knew that that decision was not going to be celebrated. If anything, in Islam, they're told to kill you.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're in Afghanistan, Morocco, or in the United States. Hence the honor killings that happen in our country. And so I didn't tell them I had a dream about Jesus. I just packed up my stuff and left. I didn't know where I was going, but I knew I wasn't going back. I didn't even know how to get saved. Now, I thought I had to take some test.
Now, you loved your parents like Charlie and I love ours.
Absolutely.
And were there brothers and sisters?
Yes, I'm the baby.
Were there any family or friends around you that were Christians?
No, absolutely not.
So the dream started it all?
Yes.
And do you remember the dream and explain what happened?
Yes, absolutely. So Islam is, it teaches on a premise that anything bad that happens in your life is a direct punishment from their God, Allah. And so throughout my early adult years, I had a strong personality, and so for being a Muslim female, it didn't go over well. Every bad thing that happened in my life was seen as a condemnation from God or their God. And I got to the point where I was very depressed. I was convinced that God hated me. I was convinced that I was going to hell, which, you know, thinking back, I was headed there, but it was on the premise that I wasn't doing enough for him. And so just having that distorted concept of God's character, I just got very down, and I contemplated suicide.
Oh, boy.
And it was one night, I was just sitting down on the couch thinking about ending my life, and this fear came over me, and I knew all of a sudden, that fear still gives me chills. I knew that if I was to go through with ending my life, that I would end up in hell. And in Islam, before you pray, you have to go through these washing rituals. And that night, I gave all that up, and I just fell flat on the floor and cried out to God, just anyone who would hear me out. And I said, God, I know you hate me. I know that there is nothing I can do to earn favor with you. Just show me the way to you. And I cried myself to sleep. And that night, I had a dream that it was the end times. And I saw in my dream, I was looking out the window and I saw heaven open and a man in a white robe descending from heaven. My spirit knew that was Jesus and that Jesus is the Lord. And I did not understand what was going on, but all I knew, and the way he looked was so peaceful, and that was the first time in my life I felt that peace that the Bible talks about that surpasses understanding. And he was approaching me, and I woke up, and I knew that he was calling me. And I had other dreams after that, but that was the one that started my quest for just Christianity.
Now, you said it was about a year before you left the house?
Oh, yes.
And what was it like during that time? Your inner self said, boy, I know the dream, and I think that was Jesus, or I'm convinced it was Jesus, but then still living in the home that was anything but.
Oh, yes. I used to go to the library and look up what it meant because I didn't want any evidence on my phone. I didn't want any evidence on my laptop because if I was caught, by Sharia law standards, they have to kill you. And I'll say this. I was passionate about the Quran, and I read the Quran front to back. And so I knew what it said. And so I had to almost cover my tracks. I went to the library and I looked up what it meant, what that dream meant. I didn't understand so much about the Bible because I was prohibited from ever touching the Bible when I was Muslim. But I think for me, there was a war within me because I was so scared I was going to make the wrong decision. Because once you make that decision, there's no turning back. And so, yeah, it took almost a year. I had the dream in October, and I decided to move out of state for safety reasons in July.
What was the pivotal thing that said, okay, tomorrow I'm leaving?
So, thankfully, the Lord in his mercy does not leave us alone, and so he kept sending me other dreams. I actually had another dream where literally one night after another, I would hear the phone ringing so loud, and someone would say, Kenza, your father is calling you. The problem is I did not relate to God as my father because that's blasphemy in Islam. So I didn't understand what it meant. I'm like, my father's calling me, and it's night after night after night. And so one day, the evidence became so clear that Jesus is the Lord. But I knew I couldn't just walk in the church where I was because it would be life-threatening for me. since the whole family was there. And so I just packed up my stuff and left the state. I can't believe I did it looking back, but honestly, yeah. And I truly believe that God was drawing me also. And I want to make sure, like, everyone understands that it's not me in my great or goodness doing all of this. It's really God's mercy who, you know, was pursuing me and drawing me to him. And let me tell you, I moved to South Carolina, and he provided for me. I mean, he provided someone to buy me a Bible, because what I feel like us as believers, we don't know is when someone is not born into the faith. I didn't know how to get saved. I know it sounds menial, but I honestly did not know that it was as easy as just giving your life to Jesus. I didn't even know how to buy a Bible, because I thought King James and NIV and NLT were three different Bibles that I had to read. It was overwhelming.
Kenza, let me tell you something. I don't know where this interview is going to end up, but already in the first 10 minutes, it's riveting, powerful, and we pray God's protection on you as you have this book out there. You know that the book is going to be criticized by Muslims, lauded by Christians, yeah. And we just want to pray God's protection on you. Now, I could tell you were from southern Morocco when we were doing the interview. Because I could tell there was a little South Carolina twang in there, Keith. And you found the South. Where was your original home, just region-wise? You don't have to specifically give it.
Yes, Hampton Roads, Virginia.
Oh, so you're not far. You were just
just
come on down the street. All right. So
did you know anybody there? Excuse me. Did you know anybody in Carolina?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm loving this.
Yeah.
Okay. So many directions that we could go, but I want to go the direction that I'm ignorant about, Keith.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Surprised you didn't make a comment. And we don't have time for that.
No.
Okay. I've got 1, 2, 3, about 6 or 7 different questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Kenza, have you ever been introduced on an interview about being a fish?
No.
And you know what haddock is, correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Keith.
I did not know, Kenza, when he said, well, her last name is the same as a fish. I was not aware of haddock fish.
It's a very, very good tasting
fish. Sorry about
fish.
That. A good tasty
All right,
fish.
Here we go. You want your first one?
Yes.
Here you go. God's voice versus Allah's voice.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes, that is one of the hardest things I had to overcome. Allah's voice is very condemning because he's a dictator. He's a spiritual pharaoh. I mean, that's if you want a clear picture, he's a pharaoh. He just tells you what you need to do and raises the bar over and over. And so I had to overcome so many self-condemning thoughts, and that was Allah's voice. And I had to literally remind myself to the point where I memorized Romans 8 so that I could say there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I had to remind myself of that until it got in me. That's the main difference. One is condemning, and I had to understand the difference between conviction and condemnation. See, when I sin, and I mean, I would say the first 5 years of my walk with Jesus, when I would sin, I would literally go to the throne. I would tiptoe at first and ask God to forgive me, and I would still believe that he didn't forgive me. So I would asking him to forgive me over and over because I just didn't believe it. It was hard.
Well, not only is it hard, it happens to all of us. Keith and I was raised in a Southern Baptist born-again believer home. Keith was raised in a home that didn't have Christ in it much till a younger age. We all have those formative years, and we understand that. And even in my faith, I felt condemned so many, many times. Okay, here's a good one, Keith. Are you ready?
Yep.
The Bible versus the Quran.
Yeah, when you open the pages of the Bible, how did you make those comparisons, or did you?
Let me tell you, the first time I opened the Bible, the first page I landed on was the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit fell upon believers. I will never forget that feeling. I felt like I had been so thirsty, and someone just gave me like a whole, like a huge cup of water, and just, I just was drinking it. The Bible, when I read the word, and as you know this, you feel a sense of comfort. And even if we get convicted, we feel that conviction with a solution, right, to this is what you do to correct it. The Quran, I remember reading it, and it's so oppressive. Like, there's, like, this weight that falls on you, and there is nothing that you can do about it. It's religion. It's transactional. It's not a relationship with a God who loves you at all.
The Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity, if you want a copy of the book, it should go pretty fast, 417-334-5532. And there's Muslims everywhere, not only in Morocco, but Iran, Iraq, Turkey, and other places. It's very, very good to have this as a guidebook for you. Boy, this is just intriguing. Let's keep going, Keith. You ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Prayer versus rituals.
Yes. Our prayer, as you know, is talking to God, and it is a relationship. With Islam, I mean, you had to pray 5 times a day, and if you miss that time, I mean, it accumulates. It's just body posture. You have to say certain words. You have to do certain things, and if you do it wrong, you have to start over. And it's just transactional. There is no life to it. It's a dead religion.
Well, Keith, how about that?
Well, I'm thinking the one thing that we as Christians, as we have occasion to speak our faith into a Muslim or any other religion, as far as that's concerned, is to realize, and I think you would probably agree with it, Kenza, that they believe that they are the only, as much as we would sit here and say Christ is the only. Is that true?
Absolutely, yes. They believe that Muhammad received the final revelation, and basically that Christians are a bunch of misled people. And that's what I believe, too, ignorantly.
Right.
I believed that Islam is the way, not Judaism or Christianity or any other religion. Yeah.
I got to go backtrack for just a minute. By the way, the phone number for the book is 417-334-5532. I'll give it again, Keith.
417-334-5532.
I don't know why I have such a hard time grasping this, but I'm going to try to clear my mind and get this right. Explain the difference between God the Father and Muhammad. Because in the woke world we live in, oh, we're all praying to the same God. Not.
Mm-mm.
So tell us why we're not.
Oh, dear Lord. Yeah, no. I mean, the concept of the Quran is based on the lie that Jesus was not crucified, buried, and rose. And so basically, the Quran takes out the fact that God is a loving God who pursues humanity. He is holy. He's also merciful. And he wants to save us. And the only way is Jesus. I mean, and Jesus said that. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? John 14:6. Muhammad, on the other hand, he is a false prophet. I mean, that's what I believe. He's a false prophet who was hanging out in a cave, and he believed he received a revelation from a spirit, and that revelation was to tell people that the crucifixion of Jesus did not happen, and therefore the resurrection didn't happen. And so Islam was born in order to basically take out the whole gospel so that it would take out God's mercy and distort the character of God.
Do we track it back to Ishmael at all?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The wild donkey. Yeah. Well, our guest this morning, Ken Zahadik, we're in some questions. Keith, you got one before I go to the next one?
Yeah, I do. Considering all that we've said, that, you know, somebody in the Muslim religion feels that there's the only way and all of that, and we are coming in contact in our country with more and more people that are Muslim, how do we, as born-again Christians, visit with, testify to, witness to a Muslim?
You know, I don't know where exactly where Jesus said it. He said that they know us by our fruit. And honestly, I would not shy away from conversations about Jesus, because I think a lot of times as believers, we think that non-believers or even Muslims know, and they just are choosing not to follow. They don't know. They don't know who Jesus is. Truly is. And I think just opening up that conversation now, and also being willing to, like, hear what the other person has to say, so that they're more willing to listen to us as well, and just hearing our perspective. Because I truly believe, Keith and Charlie, I believe that God's word is alive, and we can plant those seeds. And whether or not we see them come to fruition, you know, during that friendship, they will, I do believe that they will bear some kind of fruit. And there's a reason if you have a Muslim in your life, or a neighbor, or just a coworker somehow, some way, I do believe that there's a reason there in your life.
My brother-in-law, who's 93, has been dealing with some health issues, been in the ministry for over 60 years in a part of Missouri, and they lived in a duplex, and guess who God sent them? He sent them two people from Turkey with PhDs that were Muslim. Mm. What an experience for my brother-in-law at 93.
Sure.
And you know what they've done? They just become neighbors.
Yeah.
They just became neighbors. And gifts exchanged, hello to the kids, no condemnation, Keith. How in the world do we do that?
I think that's what we have to do, though, Kenza. Wouldn't you say that we have to become, when you talk about fruits, it's not how many people we drag to church. It's love and patience and love. And Jesus said that they will know you by how you love others. And if you shun them because they don't have the same belief, then you'll never have an opportunity to witness to them.
Absolutely. They're already used to submitting to a God who shuns them. And so shunning them is already a language that they speak. They already are familiar with it. What they're not familiar with is love, agape. They're not familiar with that. And so honestly, your brother-in-law just being neighbors with Muslims, I'm sure they're going to go through something at some point in their lives, and they can say, hey, can I pray for you? You know, obviously, that maybe their God is not answering that prayer, and maybe God is allowing for that opportunity where they can witness a miracle and see that there is something different with our God.
Well,
His love.
If it's all right with everybody, can stay with us if you can. You're on the East Coast, so it's already 9 o'clock where you're at. The book is gone. I'm taking it to my brother-in-law.
There you go. Give me a website, Kenza, where we can follow you and your ministry and the book and all of that.
Absolutely. It's www.kenzahaddock.com. And I'm also on Facebook. It's facebook.com/kenzahaddock.
Very good. Well, grab a quick cup of coffee or tea or what have you, and we'll take about a minute and a half break and be back with some more questions. And I want to find out, is there any connection at all with your family today? That and more coming up on Good Morning Ozarks. Keith O'Neill and Charlie Ingram. 57 degrees. Herb's going to keep us updated on the weather as the temperature falls throughout the day. Stay with us. Welcome to the 8 o'clock half hour of Good Morning Ozarks. Keith O'Neill and Charlie Ingram. 801, 57 degrees this morning. It's April 2nd. It's election day in many, 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 many areas. And if it's election day where you're at, make sure you exercise your right and responsibility to vote today.
Before we get back to the author of The Ex-Muslim Guide to Christianity with Kenza Haddock, I have a text that I want to read you, Keith.
All right.
And it's very, very important. All of you people that are in Stone County, Kimberling City, Branson West, listen closely to this text. Charlie, thanks for all your support on the Ambulance District in Stone County.
Well, that's right. They're voting on that today.
Keep this in your prayers today. We need everyone to go out and vote yes.
Yep.
We've already talked about it twice. You need the ambulance group just like we have in Branson. You need it in Stone County. There's a good remedy they've got for that. And don't be caught in those areas where you're unserved, Keith. So your comment.
Well, today is the day to go vote for that. And it may take you just a few moments. But it's a privilege and a right and a responsibility. So make sure you exercise it. And Stone County needs that ambulance district.
Kenza, my co-host, is blind, been blind for 41 years, so I want to describe the book cover to him. This was a very, very unique idea, Keith. In your mind, do you have the picture of the burqa in your mind?
I've never remember seeing it.
Well, the burqa, take a big hooded sweatshirt that's bigger than you and put it over your head, okay?
Like a hoodie?
Like a hoodie, but with no face to it, only cut out for your eyes.
Okay.
And that's what the women wear, Keith. Mm. And in many Muslim countries like Iran and others, theirs is black. In Afghanistan, it was blue. Don't know the significance of that or not. But on the book cover, she's got, like, looking through a burqa. Now, this might not be a burqa, but it looks like you're looking through a burqa because your eyes are there. What's the picture showing me, Kenza?
Yes, it's supposed to be a visual of God removing that veil. It's supposed to be a representation of the burqa, absolutely. But God tearing away that veil, like removing the scales from my eyes, because that's what he did.
Well, wow. Let me tell you. So, you feel pretty safe right now? The laws that protect us, or are you nervous?
The reason I'm not nervous, honestly, is I know I've been walking with the Lord, and I know that nothing can ever happen to me outside of his will. And, you know, I'm already going to heaven, and so if anything was to happen to me, I know where I'm headed.
Amen.
And, wow. God didn't save me so I can... He said we're the light of the world, right? And we're not supposed to just remain hidden. He didn't save me so I can stay quiet and not share about his goodness and mercy. He saves me so I can share and let people know he is a good God and he is merciful and he pursues us.
Keith, do you remember the other day we had the survivalist on?
Yes.
And we were talking about glamping,
right,
and going out in the things you need.
Yep.
And what were some of the things we had to have?
Water.
Right? I had to have it.
Yeah.
Other things we can live without. Fire.
Yep.
And you're out there, and we talked about how to start that fire.
Yep.
With just a piece of magnesium and a flint.
Right.
Not rubbing two sticks together, Keith. You know, you and I'd be getting
pretty
cold.
That'd take you a long time.
I encourage you that are listening, that have Muslim friends or want to get more educated, this is like a guidebook. Do you think I was so smart, Keith, to come up with the questions? They weren't questions that I got from Don. I got them from the book, Keith,
sure,
on the back of it. And there is a last question. We already covered Jesus versus Muhammad. We got that. If we're not betting people, but I'm going to bet my money. I'm going to bet on the one that came out of the tomb and said, I am the risen Lord, right?
Yep.
The afterlife for Christians versus the scale of judgment. How about that one?
Yes. Yes. So Muslims believe that they do not know where they're going until they die.
Oh.
And that once they die, they have to face Allah during Judgment Day, and he puts their good deeds versus their bad deeds on a scale, and whichever one outweighs the other is what determines their destiny, with the exception of if they treated their parents well. And that's why the relationship with one's parents is so important. It's basically to assure eternal life. And so versus giving our lives to Jesus and he gives us that assurance right then and there and we get to live for him and we know where we're headed. I mean, it's a huge difference in our outlook.
Kenza, if you'll pardon me for being an old man and ignorant on some things, you gave me the word I've been looking for. Allah versus Muhammad, please?
So, like Allah versus Muhammad, as in the prophet?
Right.
Like who they believe. So they believe that Allah is their God and that he chose Muhammad to give a final revelation. Now, see, there's a misunderstanding, and I believe among non-Muslims that Muhammad is equivalent to Jesus to Muslims, and that's not true. See, they don't believe in the concept of Trinity or anything like that. They just believe that, and even in their saying as Muslims, I do want to highlight this. One of the pillars of Islam is denying the deity of Christ.
Mm.
I mean, that is one of the pillars. That's something I repeated before I went to bed every single night for as long as I could remember. I denied the deity of Christ every single night before I went to bed.
I got to ask you a question, Keith.
Yes.
Why would somebody write that into the book? Why would somebody do that, Keith?
In the Quran?
Yes.
You're talking about? Well, it's, you know, and our society is denying him in many, many ways.
Yes.
And that is kind of Satan's plan to kill and destroy our faith. That's what he would like to do. And he can do it through many channels, and that's one.
But take a look at that. All right, let's go back to 101. So who is Allah? What God are they talking about? Who is he? Where is he? How is he? Help me.
Yes, they believe that he is their God, and they believe he is the God of Muslims, Christians, and Jews. That's literally what they believe. And they believe that Christians and Jews are, if they find their way, they'll become Muslims as well. So they believe Allah has the final revelation and that Muhammad is his chosen prophet.
Now,
and they believe...
So they don't believe, actually, that there is two gods, the Christian Father, as we know, and their Allah. They think that Allah is the same as we would say our Father.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Got it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And then Muhammad is a prophet like we would say one of the Christian prophets. But
all
he's
right.
The only one.
Yeah.
So help
right?
me here. Help me.
So that's the structure.
Keith and I are in the class, and we're sitting right up front, and we're engaged, okay? So when you hear people say, they do not believe in the same God, the point when they say that is they're talking about the same God, but they don't believe in the Trinity God, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Ah, gee.
Got it.
My light bulb just went on.
Ding.
My goodness, it could be 150 watts.
Do you have any contact at all with any of your family members?
Absolutely not. Okay. They have, so after I moved to Myrtle Beach, a few months later, I met my husband and who is now my husband. He wasn't then, obviously.
Obviously.
And, when I was pregnant with our son, we heard banging on the door. And when I say banging, I mean, like, it was awful. And we look out and they had tracked us down, my family, and they were, I mean, I remember in our first home together as a couple, they tried opening windows, back doors, took pictures of our cars. At the time, I'll tell you this, I'll tell both of you, it was scary. I hid under a desk because I was so scared. I was convinced, and the enemy was whispering in my ear, you did something wrong, see?
Yeah.
And it's like those old thoughts started coming to mind, like I did something wrong and that's why God is allowing this. And I remember that night God gave me, and I can't remember the verse exactly, but it was, or where it is, but he gave me this verse, and it was, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, right? And I give them eternal life. And it goes on to say, no one will snatch them out of my hand. And so it was a reminder to me that God is more powerful than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says no one will snatch them out of my hand, he stands by that. Unfortunately, I had to call the police, and we had to get it on paper. Now, with the laws, they have to make two attempts within 90 days for me to get a restraining order. And so every attempt they have made to come after my husband and I has been at least 90 days apart. But God has literally protected us every single time.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you what, this has been intriguing, so let me ask you a question. Yeah. Were you at a Christian Muslim hangout, having a milkshake? You had, your burqa was not on because you ditched that, and you met your husband where?
At church.
Hey,
there
pretty,
you go.
Pretty good.
Boy, when you went to South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, he did a good job. Got you to a great place there right on the beach. Nice God, right? How did this book come about, Kenza? Why did you decide to write it, and why now?
I just, I was seeing on the news that Jesus was appearing to Muslims a lot, and I just wanted, not only Muslims, but also I do believe that churches, even church pastors, would benefit from just grabbing a copy and learning the distinct differences, because it was very hard for me during that transition period. It's hard enough because my decision wasn't celebrated. You know, like when I gave my life to Jesus, it wasn't like, oh, let's go out to lunch and celebrate. I think people need to understand what that transition looks like and how to help someone understand the right concept of God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and understand how to relate to God. Because, you know, we draw our identity from God, and if we have the wrong concept of Him, then we're messed up. I mean, that's just what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to use that line. We're just messed up.
We are messed up.
From Myrtle Beach.
That's great.
From Myrtle Beach to Branson, Kenza, a big pat on the back.
Kenza.
And we pray God's blessing and protection, and you face this the right way. And you know what? Let's wrap up like this. So we as born-again Christians who are facing the wrath of the world when it comes to woke policies, transgenderism, homosexuality, the abortion issue, and we're under these attacks, it pales in comparison to what you're talking about. Give us some hope for us in the social issues with God, just like you as a former Muslim.
Absolutely. I truly believe that the one thing I would tell everybody is, please don't ever get to a point where you're apathetic toward your relationship with God. And what I mean by that is always spend time with the Lord and just stay on track with Him and just hear Him out. If God prompts you to go minister to someone or to give a word to someone or to just go and have coffee with somebody, go do that. He knows what's going on with that person. I think a lot of times it's hard for us to take that step or that leap of faith to go and talk to someone or minister to someone or just have coffee and hang out with someone who needs that hope and who needs that word. God does all of it. He's sovereign over it all. I think sometimes we feel like it has to come from us. No, God wants us to partner with Him. He's using us as a tool, but really He's doing all of it. And so just remember that.
Kenza, amen. We're going to the producer today. We're going to put you on a list that we have a short list, only about 200 people on it, okay? Because of people like you, we'd like to have you back sometime and talk about this subject. Can we do that?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, we have a lot of fun on our program. We talk sports. We talk world events. We talk all kinds of things. I want to paint this picture and see if I'm right at all. Can I give you an example and you tell me what's wrong with this picture that just can't be right?
Yes.
There's a man that went to women's prison and said, I'm now a transgender woman, a Muslim, and something else. What's wrong with what he just said?
Oh, yeah, no. I think he's just using the system.
Because, am I correct? You can't be a transgender or homosexual and be a Muslim. Is that correct?
No. Yeah, no.
See, Keith?
No, no. Exactly.
But the news media doesn't pick up on stuff
no,
like that,
don't.
Keith. Hey,
Kenza,
wrap us
great.
Up, Kenza.
Kenza, you've been great, and I appreciate you. And give us that website again where we can find out about you and your ministry and follow you with the book. Is there another book in the future?
Yeah, so there is one coming out 6 months after. It's strictly mental health from a Christian perspective. God called me into the counseling field shortly after he called me out of Islam. So it's been incredible. So yes, absolutely.
Well, and I got another question.
We look forward to it.
I can't stop, Keith. Just a minute.
All right.
Do you think your parents have a copy of your book?
I hope they pick it up. I don't know. Yeah, they might. I mean, as much as they've tried to come after me, I think they might.
Well, you know,
I hope so.
You know something that hit me during the interview? They took something out of the Ten Commandments, didn't they, Keith? Honor your mother and your father. Kind of a little cafeteria type thing.
Yeah,
kind of. Kenza, am I pronouncing your name right when I say that?
Yes.
Kenza?
Yes.
Kenza Hattie.
As much as, you know, you had a dream, that's possible for them, too, to have a dream. He may appear to them in that way. So we'll just continue to pray for your family, Kenza.
Well, I want to say one other thing. Kenza, you ready?
Yes.
I'm sure glad you didn't open up your Bible the very first thing to someplace in the Old Testament.
I know.
I'm sure glad you went to Acts. Hey, tell your husband, how many kiddos you got?
Two kids.
How old?
6 and 4.
Oh, awesome. Baby.
Oh, you got
your hands cut out.
Oh, baby.
Guess what? They'll be teenagers one of these days, and they'll drive.
You crazy.
I think of a car.
Oh, they will.
Yeah. Hey, Kenza, tell your husband hi.
I will. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Kenza. Look forward to having you back on Good Morning Ozarks in the future.
Thank you.
All right. Bless you.